Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. And today is Socialism Saturday. And you're thinking, why in the world is FPIW studying socialism? Because it is on the rise in America. A lot of young people and even old people, Bernie Sanders isn't young, think that socialism is the way. And I got to tell you, it is totally contrary to the Word of God. So we're going to dive in and examine different aspects of socialism, look at them from a biblical worldview. And as we dive in, I want to encourage you, if you're enjoying Socialism Saturday, if you're growing and understanding some of the cultural things that are taking place, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're inside that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. It really helps us accomplish our goal, which is to change the heart so that we change the public square. Also, if you haven't checked out WashingtonDefender.org, it is a web app version. So you can get in and function within the app through a web browser at this point. Finally, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It truly helps us out. So we couldn't do this without your monthly support. So thank you. All right, today we're going to talk about idolatry of the state versus worship of God. And I want to lay this foundation. One of the key things is that we do not turn the state into a god. We are to worship Jesus Christ alone. So modern government can do a lot. They can regulate economies, provide welfare, control education, and even shape culture. Now, some of those things are not biblical necessarily in and of themselves, but they can do those things. In a socialist and communist visions, the state often becomes the center of life. And today we want to examine the dangers of letting the state function as our God. And so we'll lay a biblical foundation, then we'll look at socialism, capitalism, and that biblical worldview. So let's go to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to start in the first verse. It says, "Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." All right. So this is where he's starting out. He says, I am the Lord your God. Then he shall give. Oh, we went two pages here. Let's back up. "You shall have no other gods before me." Look at that. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven or above or on the earth beneath or in the waters underneath the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generation, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my command." So we see two things here. First, you're not to have any other gods. Secondly, no idolatry. You are to only worship the God of heaven. And this is why, as Christians, we may live in a nation, we may love our nation, but ultimately our citizenship is in heaven. We don't worship our nation. It doesn't become our God, nor does it become an idol, right? We aren't to worship it like an idol for us. So to think through about this foundation of no other gods, even the government, really the family, even the church, any of those things should not become a false god for us. The only one that should be our God is Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the risen Savior, and we worship him alone. Even though we may love our family, love our church, love our country, those kind of things, we don't worship them as God. So Romans chapter 1 lays it out this way. It says this in verse 17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." So when we worship the state, we are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them. So the truth is, we are created to worship, but we are only created to worship one, the God of heaven. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculation, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Isn't that today? And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of the form of corruptible man, birds, and four animal creatures, and crawling creatures. So here's where we notice this. When we exchange the glory of God for something that's created, government, it's idolatry. God says very clearly, have no other gods before me. Do not have idols, only worship me. So what am I saying? Government is not your savior. And you need to understand, idolatry is not just bowing to a physical statue. It's ascribing ultimate trust, fear, and devotion to any created reality like a state or a system that's there. And scripture repeatedly warns that idols bring judgment and enslave their worshipers. That's what we just read there. So when the state becomes provider, judge, and savior, it has taken place that belongs only to God. So let's look at the communist pitfalls. The state becomes the proletariat, organized at the ruling class, centralizing credit, land, education, and transport. So the state becomes the center. Everything is, what can you give me, oh government? And that is not what the state is meant to do. We just read that, right? God is your provider. God is the one who takes care of you. When we think about that vision of the state becoming the proletariat, and the ruling class, it becomes the centralized power of that, we somehow turn our worship away from Almighty God. So there's some pitfalls of that. Ultimately, God is your provider. Ultimately, God is your protector, not the state. And ultimately, God is your redeemer. So historically, communist regimes have often demanded ideological loyalty that rivals or replaces a loyalty to God. And that's why you see an atheistic society oftentimes parallels socialism or Marxism, or secular humanism society parallels socialism, communism, Marxism. So to understand that as born again, Christ-filled believers, we do not worship the state. So this setup strongly tempts idolatry, where people fear displeasing the party more than disobeying the Lord. And this is important. We have polarized on parties so much that we will lay down or compromise our values for the sake of party alignment. And I'm saying that's not good. So capitalism, there are some dangers in many capitalist frameworks. The state's role is more limited, administering justice and order rather than controlling every aspect of life. But we need to understand this. This can create a space for family, church, and individual conscience to flourish. So capitalism tends to lean towards the Bible a little bit more. But there is an extreme form of capitalism. It's when people idolize the nation, okay? So it's kind of like, you know, here's the collective nation of socialism. Here's the independent idolization of a nation or party or constitution, treating civic identity as ultimate. Yes, we are Americans, right? Yes, we live in the United States of America. Yes, we love our country. And if you live in a different country, you should love that country. Yes, we believe that God sets up nations. But do we worship it? Is that our ultimate identity? And remember, when one party wins and your joy is all lost because that party, the other party wins, the opposing party wins, your identity might be resting in that. Your joy is in the Lord, not in who wins. Now, does that mean we don't steward it? No, of course we steward it. Does that mean that we don't love our nation and care for it? Of course we love our nation. But that does not mean that we love our nation like we love our God, or worship our nation like we worship our God. It's simply loving God and loving others is why we want nations set up with borders. It divides power across the world so that people's sinfulness and people's fallenness can't be lorded over others. So we can have idolatry in capitalism, where we compromise our values in order to make wealth we compromise biblical worldview in order to accomplish some conservative goal. So we resist socialist statism that turns government into a god, and we also guard against capitalist cultures that idolize nation or party. We don't want either of those, okay? I don't know how else to say this. You should be proud of the nation that you live in because you're stewarding it well, but you should never worship it. Very, very important. So think about this. What do I fear losing more, God's favor or the favor of my political tribe? Let that sink in. What do I fear losing more, God's favor or the favor of my political tribe? How do I encourage believers to be grateful for the government but not to worship the government? Think about that. We should be grateful for our government. Now, every time I say this, someone says, well, what if you live in a country that, and they, quite frankly, these are the people pushing for socialism, oftentimes, quote, the totalitarianism of socialist countries, which is kind of weird. What should they do? I mean, doesn't God just want equal across the whole world? God wishes that none should perish, but all to come to repentance. And in Acts, we see that he strategically places each individual in the country that he wants them to be in so that they may, quote, grope for God or reach out for God with all of their heart. We can't, maybe I should use the word shouldn't, maybe should use the word, we are not in the place of God to say, God, we know better, therefore we are going to break down where you place people and move them all around. Now that said, can someone legally migrate to another country? Yeah, we see that in the Bible. Israel legally migrated to Egypt. We see that. Okay, so that's not the issue. But we need to have a worldview where God is glorified through us. So what are some things that we can do? We can pray for our leaders as servants, not saviors, right? That's why we pray for Governor Bob Ferguson and President Trump and Representative Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell and those kind of things, because we want them to be servants and not saviors. We can keep our allegiance to Christ above all parties and ideology, right? So I am not a conservative Republican first. I'm a born again, blood bought, Christian who believes in Jesus Christ. Then I have a biblical worldview of the public square. Then which tends to align with the conservative movement that tends to align with the Republicans. That's kind of the progression. Jesus first. I went to my identity in Christ. I probably should put in there like, and then I'm married to my wife, Tanya, and then I have grandkids. I mean, so as this flows down, I mean, yes, those are elements, but they don't take precedence over everything else. So let's pray. And we need to think through, are we turning government into an idol? And think about, are we raising up to such a degree where government has taken precedence over our walk with God, our relationship with God, and our joy is lost because government has become our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we live in a fallen world, that we ourselves are fallen, and that we need a Savior, and that Savior is only Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And God, it says that you save us. And so we thank you for that. We thank you that government is not our idol, that government is not our God. God, you are the only true living God. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the righteous one, the Holy One. Lord, your Ten Commandments start out with no gods, no idols, worship you alone. And so, God, we commit to that. No other gods, no idols, and we're going to worship you alone. Lord, we also say that you say our citizenship is in heaven, and yet we are to occupy until you come. In other words, we're supposed to be faithful stewards until you come, Luke 19. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful stewards Help us to remain joyful as we walk in this world. Lord, teach us not to worship government, not to make officials our saviors. No one's going to save us except for you. We thank you, God, that your son, Jesus Christ, saves our souls. We lift up Governor Bob Ferguson to you. Lord, let his salvation come from you. President Trump, let his salvation come from you. Patty Murray, Maria Cantwell, Michael Baumgartner, Suzanne Schmidt, Leonard Christian, Rob Chase. There's so many, God, that, Lord, if they're saved, I pray that you will just bless them, give them wisdom and insight. God, if they still are searching for you, we pray that you would put people in their path, that today will be the day of salvation, that you'll give them wisdom, you'll give them health, you'll give them clarity of mind. Lord, that they would know that you sovereignly place them in authority, God. Give them those things, God. So we pray for them to be civil servants, and we thank you for that wisdom you're placing on their hearts and their minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.